Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Acts chapter 2. Now, I want to stir up maybe a little bit of memory of what happens in Acts chapter 2. There, the believers, this is after Jesus was crucified. He raised from the dead and is alive, and he was being seen among people. And this is, and then he then ascended to the Father, where we find in Scripture that he ascended to be back with the Father and at God's right hand, being ever mindful of us here on earth, who he gave his life for the forgiveness of sins, so we could live at peace with God and know him, have this living relationship with him. And a prophecy came true. If you recall, there was a prophet named Joel, and he prophesied that God would outpour his Spirit. A day would come where God would pour out his Spirit upon all people. Didn't matter if you were young or if you were old. It didn't matter what country you were from. It didn't matter if you were a man or a woman. It just didn't matter. He was going to pour out his Spirit of power, his Spirit of kindness, his Spirit, so that we could understand, and actually through a relationship with him, we could know the mind of God. The Scripture talks about that. Paul writes about it in Corinthians. He says the only person who knows you, get this, is the Spirit within you. Okay, and it's the same with God. But if we have fellowship with the Spirit that's outpoured on us, God's Spirit, it says that he can reveal to us the mind of God. Wouldn't that be wonderful to know what God thinks? What God wants to do? What God wants to do in our life? I mean, what a marvelous gift. And so God revealed to Joel, he said, prophesy this. Well, in Acts chapter 2, it's the fulfillment of this prophecy. And so the Holy Spirit is outpoured on this group of believers that has been getting together ever since Jesus ascended. They were getting together and they were praying. Just praying. Talking to the Lord. Praying about things that were on their mind. Talking to God about things that were on their heart. They were listening. Is God going to speak? Is God going to talk to me? Is God going to reveal anything to me? And they were just getting together to do this. Well, at this one particular meeting, you can read it in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is outpoured. And some signs and wonders. I mean, let's face it. If God is real, and I know that he is, but if God is real, please tell me that God can do things that I do not understand. That he is greater than me. That he is greater than us. That he can do things that will puzzle me. Things that I cannot quite grasp. Things that get me thinking. Things that get me to scratch my head. Things that he can do that would make me wonder, how did that happen? Well, in Acts chapter 2, he does some things that confound the wise. And his Spirit is outpoured, and there are signs and wonders and some things that have transpired. And I'm not going to so much talk about that this morning. I want to move us along to the end of this chapter. I'm just trying to give you context. So after the Spirit's been outpoured and Peter stands up and tells the crowd about Jesus being the Savior, and you got people saying, well, if this is true, what are we supposed to do? And he talks to them about how to experience salvation, how to put faith in Christ. And there was, it says there was about 3,000 people in just that one sermon, that one day, that one moment, right on the, you know, the outpouring of the Spirit upon believers, people who believed in Jesus. And 3,000 people put faith in Christ as their Savior, believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And so after that transpired, if you look at verse 42, it talks about how these believers now began to live. things that were very important, things that were priorities. It gives you a little insight, gives me a little insight into how they live, how they conducted their life, and how they spent some of their time and what was important. And so I want us to look at that. In verse 42, it says that these believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, in other words, to the scripture. What they heard Jesus say, they were now teaching, they were now doing. It says they devoted themselves to that. And they devoted themselves to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles, because the Spirit's been outpoured, right? And the Holy Spirit of God reveals who God is and what He's like and empowers us to do some things that, boy, that's just impossible to do in my own strength. Now God's showing up among them, displaying His kindness, showing His power. And so these things were happening in the life of the believers, the gathering when they get together. And all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone according to the person's need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They also broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad, sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Turn to the person next to you and say, wow, it really sounds like a cool party. It does. I mean, that's what it kind of was. I mean, when you're invited to a party, it's basically, we're just going to have a bunch of people get together, and you know that when you get together, there is something that's going to be there. What is it? Food. Who said it? That a girl. Good Pentecostal girl. Food and everything. Yeah, it's basically this ongoing party, so to speak. Now, it doesn't mean just a bunch of hoopla and, you know, meaningless things. It's just there was this ongoing getting together that happened. And it didn't just happen spontaneously. Did you know that people actually had to invite one another? Somebody had to say to somebody, would you come over? Somebody had to say, yes. Or, did you hear about? Or, I'm going to this party, this gathering. Would you come with me? Is there food? Yes, I'll be there. Humanity hasn't changed that much. There was this getting together. There were a lot of things that they did, and each one of them could really be a message and a sermon and a devotional and a life lesson in themselves, for each of us, for me. But I want us to look at this. It says they continued to break bread together. Now, don't just read into that as, oh, that's communion, okay? They did do that. But they got together and ate. They got together and were each in each other's homes. I did a series a little while back on our midweek on a Wednesday, and I talked about the early, what we call the early church, when actually it was, you know, the ecclesia, which doesn't really translate to church, to be honest with you. It just translates to the gathering. A gathering. A getting together. And so they used to get together, and they would eat, and they would pray, and they would talk, and, you know, they would be people. If we could translate that to a modern day, I want you to know when they got together at the gathering, it's not like they walked into the gathering and said, oh, now we're at the gathering, I've got to put on my Christian hat. We have to go in now, and we have to go in, and all we're going to do is pray. All we're going to do is testimony. All we're going to do is sing praises to the Lord. All we're going to do is look at the scripture. All we're going to do is just listen to the teaching. All we're going to do at this gathering, and then, well, we will make time for food. And then when I leave, I take off the Christian hat, and now I put on the other hat, and now I can go talk about business, and I can talk about interests in my life, talk about some problems, talk about things we face, talk about, you know, our husbands. Whatever. Our children. I caught a fish this big, you know. Fishing tails. I saw a buck the other day. You know, all this. There was a sales at Macy's. Listen, they got together, and I want you to know some of those conversations of life, they weren't all pretentious and they weren't all uptight. They came in and they talked about life together, and they ate together, and they fellowshiped together. They had a community together. And they talked about the things of life, and they included faith. And they included conversations about the Lord, and they heard teaching, and they devoted themselves to it, and they prayed for one another, and they sang together. These things went on. What we have now reduced it to is church. This hour and a half a week, I want you to know that I would find it very difficult, and I don't think we're too much, I mean, we're different than each other, but in this fact, I don't think we're too much different than each other. We cannot continue to just grow in our Christian life living on an hour and a half of church a week. We can't do that. You and I, we've got to read our Bible and talk to the Lord during the week, other than Sunday. I mean, I can't just come and live my life of faith and just hear what, you know, the pastor says and not read on my own or look up Scripture or, you know, wrestle with something in the way of understanding it in Scripture or any of those. We just can't live on an hour and a half a week and become a person who is vibrant in faith, knows the Word, who allows the Spirit to come into their life, and we can discover the mind of God and know His will and purpose. This hour and a half is really important. It's so good to come together. It's so good to know that you're not alone. It's wonderful to build a connection with another person that, yes, it is faith-based. It's we met at church and have that connection, but, you know, you can kind of live life together. You can say, hey, could we meet this week for coffee and, I don't know, pie? There's a few people chuckling. Those of you who might be visiting, I like pie. That's all there is. I like pie. Those who are visiting now looking at me going, yeah, I could see that. You and I cannot live on just an hour and a half a week. And the rest of the week and the rest of our time, we are dismembered, disengaged from another believer or two. There's something about being together. I'm not talking about not being with anyone else. That would be weird. That would be ungodly. That's not how Jesus lived. He was with people. People of faith, people who didn't have faith. People who thought they were holy, and other people who thought of themselves, they weren't even worth saving. He was with them. But there's something about being together. Hey, we need alone time. We have a private life. I get that. But there's something about being together. It says that they got together and they ate and they did all these things. And they gathered in homes. Let me ask you a question. Who have you had to your home in the last week, or what other home have you been in? Maybe you're saying, well, I'm just not comfortable having people in my house, and you know, and there's a thus saith the Lord, get over it. But there's the other part too, you know, hey, it's reality. Who did you, you know, say, hey, meet me over at the family restaurant for coffee, for lunch? Who have you invited? Who have you tried to connect with? Who have you tried to encourage? It's interesting, when we're the one that needs the encouragement, we tend not to invite. We just put out this expectation. Well, the Lord knows I'm discouraged, and the church should know, because I walk in pretty gloomy every week, and nobody seems to care, because nobody just asked me out. Why do we get the idea that if we are the one that needs some fellowship, we can't do the inviting? Those of you who may be newer to this church, you might think, well, I'm just newer, and, you know, in recent months or the last year, and, you know, it's kind of those who've been here longer should kind of probably be doing the inviting. Yes, but if they're not, you have permission. Take initiative. There's something about being together. There's something about connecting. There's something about not being an island unto ourselves. And there's different motives for us to be alone. I get that. I'm not real social. Crowds make me uncomfortable. Crowds, I mean, it can be just, you know, two or three people. Sometimes we have some insecurities about ourselves. Sometimes we have looked through our life and we have a lot of justifiable reasons not to trust people. So we just don't want to do that. Well, don't exalt your past over the power of the Lord in a new life in Him. He can empower us and heal us to love and to trust again. And He calls us into relationship with people and to one another. Loneliness is a really tough thing. And the Lord understood it in the beginning, because He said, it is not good for Adam, man, to be what? Here's these believers, and they're devoting themselves to biblical principles of testifying and faith and the Word, but they devoted themselves to getting together. I don't want it to be just an hour and a half a week for you or for me. It's about getting together with other Christians and other believers. It's about getting together with other believers and bringing along someone else who may not be a believer. That's what they did. How do you think the gospel spread? Was it just the Christians who were now saved just meeting privately in homes? And that was it. We got our little group. We're saved. We're good. No, the news about these meetings and in these tenements and these apartment buildings, so to speak, in modern day vernacular, is they would let the message out that they were getting together. Come, we're having food. For some, is it a holiday? Because somebody's making lamb. I mean, it was a whole Fruit Loops commercial. Follow your nose. It was. Good to see you, hon. It was, you know, and people would say this. Come on. Come on. We're having food. Some of us are getting together. We're going to talk about the scripture. We're going to, you know. And the church grew. People, I got to tell you something. The content is pure. His word. It's pure and it is good. And if you and I or people get turned off by the content, then they are turned off by their own choice and they're turned off for the right reason. But I got to tell you, most of the time, people who are unchurched or non-believing, it's not that they're so much turned off by the word, they're turned off by the presentation of it. And I'm not talking about just Sunday morning. I'm talking about the presentation of Christ and his word in our life throughout the week. Jesus was very engaging. We've been doing a series on Wednesday night about how engaging Jesus was, is still. It's this presentation. It's this engagement. It is about making people discover an opportunity that you are nice, we are nice, we are friendly. God is real. God is in our life. I'm not perfect, but I'm moving along. But yet his word is perfect. And listen, you and I, let's face it, we might listen a little better if the food is really good. If the people are nice, if the people are warm, if the people are friendly. I got to tell you, he has now become, really, over the years, my best buddy. He's been here on a few occasions. He lives in northern Minnesota. When I first met him, he did not have faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior. One of the things that unlocked this guy from having this, Randy, and he knew I was a pastor of a church, not because I told him. He was introduced to me, and it was in that setting. And you know what helped unlock this guy? We were doing an outside water baptism service, okay? And at the time, he was dating this gal who was mostly attending our church. They had a daughter together, okay, outside of wedlock. They had a baby. And she, in just kind of a nutshell, she basically said, listen, have this baby, pregnant, have this baby, and I want us, and he was not there, but she was referring to him and saying, want us to come in and see you, and basically you kind of need to work things out so this guy's going to marry me. He needs to become a Christian, and he needs to marry me. I quickly went over to my job description manual. I did not see that one in here. I said, I'm glad to meet with you. I made no promises other than, I'm glad to meet with you. We talked. We met on different occasions. Things did not work out between the two of them to get married, and I certainly was not forcing. This was their decision, but, we're going to share the gospel, and we're going to, And, of course, the first time he came into my office, it was like, okay. Yeah, I'm doing this out of obligation. I'll sit here. Yeah, nice to meet you. They're sitting on the couch together. And he is not interested in being there. He is doing this out of sheer obligation to her, just saying, I care. Yeah, okay, we'll go see this guy. Well, we had a water baptism service coming up that we did outside in a rural area. It was on a gospel ranch kind of little complex and real rural and rustic. And we would set up a tent and have food. And the sound system for music, and the lake was there, and you could walk down, and you could express faith in Christ and be baptized. Well, people are arriving. there was setup that was being done. I was coming out towards the gate because I had to do some stuff out near the gate and make sure things were there and signs and people were there to greet and all that. So I was doing my administrative stuff, and I see come in some vehicles, and I can see her vehicle and that she's driving. He's sitting in the passenger seat, okay? And as they're coming in on this little logging road almost, I stop, they stop, I put down my window, she puts down her window. Now, I didn't know this till after the fact, but as they were coming in, she's going, now there he is, there's the pastor. Now listen, you know, she's giving them the whole, be nice. And this is the moment, the key moment, that unlocked this guy. Okay? His last name is Benson, so I just call him Bents. Right from the start, hey, Bents. Roll down my window. She rolls down her window, and she's, you know, hi. I said, hi. Hey, Bents! And I'm yelling through my window, through her window, to the other side of their vehicle. He's now leaned forward like, hi. Hey, Bents! Where we're baptizing people on this lake, this is where I whack geese. And I took off. He likes to hunt and fish. I like to hunt and fish. I said, hey, this is where we whack geese. Now, if you don't know what whack geese means, it just means it's goose season and you can shoot them. And you can hear them hit the water, sploosh, or the ones that hit the ground are really fun. Thud. You were there. I brought you there. You were just a little guy. Yeah. God bless us that day, too. Anyhow, that's another story. At that moment, Bence got the whole, hey, listen, you got to behave. You got to be nice as the pastor. Okay, you know, it's just the word of baptism. It's going to be a church service. You know, you got to, you know, all this stuff. And he pulls up and hears the preacher go, hey, this is where I whack geese. I was off. That unlocked that guy. The content was never going to be compromised, never changed, but we can be people. And the presentation for him was, this guy's a pastor? Well, some of you still wonder about that, but a lot, really? Should have been here a few weeks ago and we were leathered out in here. Woo! All those motorcycles parked down the, You missed it, preached in leather chaps. Over my pants. Okay. Preaching the leather chaps. I know. I'm fired now. I got to tell you something. I have walked in a Harley store with a suit on and a tie. They weren't real friendly to me. I've also walked in my blue jeans and leather jacket, my shades and appropriate motorcycle riding apparel. They talk to me. Certain things unlock people. The content doesn't change. Okay? Does not change. But the presentation, the food, the way we conduct ourselves, sometimes what we wear and the atmosphere that we host, all of it creates a comfortability. Because let's face it, in reality, the comfortability grows and paves the way for something that's uncomfortable for our flesh. Okay? Because when we first come to faith in Christ, we're excited, or when we first start searching, and we maybe don't even have faith in Christ, and we're going through this, the content is good and it is pure, but there are things in this Bible, in this book, that offend us. Doesn't make the content wrong. There are still things in this book that offend me, but I got to change. And that's why it offends me. There are things that used to offend me that no longer offend me, and that's a sign that says, hey, boy, you're actually like growing. You're coming along. You're making, God's helping you make good on the grace and kindness he showed you. Something about being together It's something about encouraging one another. Listen, it's wonderful to be thought of. It's wonderful to be invited. It does something for people. Who have you invited out or to your home? Whose home have you been in? Or who's invited you and you went and met with them this last week? They were getting together. We need to be as devoted to all of these things equally. We can't just say, well, I'm devoted to God's word. I'm a Christian. I'm devoted to his word. I study his word. I read and I pray. And yet you're not devoted in getting together with other people. They did it all. It wasn't about picking and choosing what you thought was most important. It is important that we are in his word. It is also very important that we get together with people. That we're not an island to ourselves. Romans chapter 12, verse 13, you'll see it. It says, practice hospitality. Now, when it says practice hospitality, it doesn't mean role play and you're by yourself in your house. And you're talking to invisible people who won't bother you and who won't get things dirty. Practice means execute it, carry it out, do it in your life. Practice hospitality. And you can be hospitable, have that kind of spirit and attitude and outlook and, you know, kind of that countenance on you without being in your home. It can be everywhere you go. You practice hospitality. Listen, think about this. When people come into your home, what is it you do? Do you just let them come in themselves and you never greet them? You carry on and you just talk to your family and ignore them? Is that what you do? Is that practicing hospitality? When people come to your home, you answer the door. You welcome them in. If you need to take their coats, you offer to take their coats. You say, oh, come on in. It's not just standing in the hallway. Come on in. What would you like to drink? There are some hors d'oeuvres on the table or on the kitchen island. Or come in here, sit down. Hey, kid, get off that chair. That's for guests. Come, sit down. You give them good seats. You're friendly. You ask about their day. You see that they pulled up in a vehicle. How do you like that vehicle? Wondered about that vehicle. Oh, what a nice sweater you have on. Now, that was the women part. Okay, not guys. Listen, Oh, Jim, what a beautiful sweater you're wearing. Okay, the presentation's ruined. Okay. No. You dialogue. There's warmth. Could I fill up your coffee cup? Would you like more coffee? What flavored creamer do you like? Yeah. That's hospitable. That can carry over outside your home. You can be hospitable in the public marketplace. You do it the same way. You treat people the same way. Oh, let me get the door for you. How are you? Having a good day? You're only talking to them for 15 seconds and then you're parting ways because, you know what? They're going and being seated in one part of the restaurant and you're going to another. But there was 15 seconds there from outside through the door and into the waiting area where they're going to seat you. You can be hospitable. My wife and I were on the way home last night from some people's home who called us spare of the moment. I loved this text. It said this. I don't know what you and your wife are doing for dinner, but I'm smoking ribs. I knew I was going. As we left, my son was at home waiting for some additional supplemental food. I I said, I'll swing by, and went by the family restaurant here, ordered something from the phone, went by, went in, was going up to pay for the to-go bag. The girl at the counter, and I'm not in there in the evenings too often. Girl at the counter, she looked kind of familiar, but I couldn't place her, didn't think much about it. The owner come out, and he said, hey, Randy, how are you? And we were talking a little bit. And the gal at the counter says, were you ever at the L&M in Melrose? And I said, yes. And I'm sitting here looking at this couple because this is the couple, this is one of the people that I've met there. Well, two of the people I've met there. My friends, the Jessies. Met there, took them to like, was a late morning breakfast or was it like middle of the early afternoon? I forget it. It turned into an afternoon. You invited me out to your place. You were so hospitable. Still love your outbuilding. House is very nice. Love your outbuilding. So she says to me, have you been? I said, yes. And she says, I remember you. You were really nice to me. I was having a rough day that day. In fact, while you were there, there was another group of people at another table that were telling me how poor of a waitress I was. I said, well, they were wrong. I said, you did a great job that day. It was practicing hospitality. Now, she was the one that was in the hospitality business. She was waiting on us. We practice hospitality back. It's about the presentation. The content is pure. It is holy. It is perfect. It is chalked with good news that offends me initially, but then I discover the good news. And it is wonderful, okay? And if people are turned off because of the content, then they are turned off for the right reason. If they are turned off from ever hearing the content because of the presentation, that's our fault. And it's about getting together. And it's about encouraging one another. Hebrews chapter 10. Read these couple of verses. Worship team, you can start coming back. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together. Oh, there it is. Did you get that? That is the verse that is anti-Facebook. Up to that point, it says, you provoke one another to love and good deeds. Well, we can do that through letters, through cards. We can do that in person. We can do that through private messaging on Facebook. You can do it through texting. You can blah, 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 and all this through the social network. And I'm all for it. Hey, listen, that's great. I don't spend a lot of time on it. But, you know, I'm all for it. I get that. But I'll tell you this. Don't forsake getting together. Did you read it? Get together. Be with each other. Be with people. This is not about Christianity as my personal private business. Leave me alone. And not to share it with anybody. And not to talk about it with anybody. And blah, blah, blah. Listen. I'm not meddling. This is what the scripture tells us. What if somebody would have never taken a moment to tell you about the gospel? To really tell you about God's grace and kindness? To really tell you about his word? What if nobody ever took time for you? What if nobody would have tutored you after school was out? What if the teacher would have never taken extra time with you? What if mom would have never left her housework for a moment and got down on her knee to give you a hug? What if people just wouldn't take time for you? God's called us about being together. He's called us to do a lot of things and exercise principles, but I want you to know that among them is being with people. We're supposed to be the living church. It's not about us being in here for an hour and a half and having a great time in His presence, receiving something from God, tasting of Him and having an experience with Him and God's Word doing something us. And then we walk outside this building and we don't practice hospitality. There is no presentation of the pure content. If people want to know, then they should come in here. No. Some of them don't know that they want to know. And they need an invitation. And maybe before the invite ever comes, they need to sense something in me and sense something in you that is hospitable. We talk about great spiritual renewal and revival and spiritual breakthrough. I want you to know when we practice His principles, they bring spiritual breakthrough. We try to spiritualize a lot of things and say, I just need to pray about it. I need to pray about it. We do need to pray about it. But I want you to know when we exercise what we know, it brings breakthrough. It's not that prayer is not the only weapon to bring breakthrough. You hear me. And I pray. It is exercising biblical principles and commands and recommendations. And they bring breakthrough. You partner with prayer, you're hitting on all four. It's a double barrel deal. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Listen, that is not just about skipping church. It's about not getting together. It's not about skipping hour and a half. It's about skipping out the rest of the week and not fellowshipping, not having face-to-face. You'll text and you'll do instant message and Snapchat and whatever else, all this other stuff that I don't even understand. Hey, that can be good. That can be great. You can encourage one another. But don't stop getting together. You got to have time together. Have you ever misunderstood a text message? Wasn't sure about the attitude in which it came. The person on the other end may have they ever misunderstood you? That's not at all what I meant. I was actually happy when I texted that. Well, you'd never know. But this, here's the other part. If there's a misunderstanding, we can resolve it right now. I don't have to wait 2 hours for our text conversation to go back and forth. It's about being together. It's about encouraging one another. It's about having compassion for somebody. Get together. It is what we call the gathering was about. The early church. And it wasn't an hour and a half a week. Listen, I want you to hear this. There are people in this room who need you. Need you. As crummy as your past is, they need you. As flawed as the person next to you might be, there are people in this room who need them. A connectedness, a togetherness, in life and in faith. So that we can move to a place that everything we own or everything that we take management of that the bank owns can all be used. Can all be used to reach people so that the pure content can make its way into their life. Yeah. I want you to know something. The plan to be intimidating is not holy. unless there's a boy coming to pick up your daughter. Then it's all right. And it works really well, too, if it's just kind of naturally who you are. You don't have to be cleaning your shotgun when they show up. You just got to be there. She's mine, and I'm not even sure I want to spit in your direction. You know, one of those. The rest of it, it's not about being intimidating. That's not holy and noble. It's about serving. It's about being hospitable. So all that we have is about reaching people, caring for people. Listen, I'm really grateful for my Harley. I like it. I like to ride it. But I'm not married to it. And it's provided a way to share the gospel with some people. Because here's the reality. It's not really mine. It belongs to Him. Right. And that proves that God rides Harleys. Just a side note. Hey, all that we have, all that we manage, it's not just supposed to be ours. It's His. And it's for the benefit of being together with people. Talked to two couples last night. They said to my wife and I, they said, "Oh, have you two ever been on a cruise?" "No." "I've taken her out on a John boat." You know, we have a kayak. You know. No, and they talked about that. And they said, "Oh, the cruise, this, cruise, that." And then it came to this. You know, the reality is we would never go on the cruise unless we were going to go with friends. That's what they said. Said, "You know, we had a good time. We did this kind of stuff and we saw stuff and all that. But you know what really made it great? And it wasn't just the buffets 24 hours. Although that might be enough for me to try it." They said this. It was about going with friends. Here's the reality. You don't have to spring for the expense of a cruise. You can just kind of cruise across the street and have coffee. Take time during your week. What has made us so insulated? What has caused us to withdraw? Yet we pray and we read and we just... I know, worship team, you've been up here for a while. Start playing. It'll encourage me to quit. What is it about us that we live insulated from people? Listen, I'm with people all day long. I run a staff and I work in cubicle and this. I get it. But that does not replace what this is talking about. God has a purpose for you, and it's to reach other people, and it's to encourage the people in this room, and for you to be encouraged. So I'm grateful you devote yourself to the Word. You better devote yourself to fellowship.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.